Thank you, church. Thank you for your beliefs in a mighty God that can do these acts. And as we step out in faith and we ask God to do these things, God is delighted. You know, God honestly loves to show up and show off. He really does. And we stand amazed. We go, wow, how'd that happen? You know, well, because we put our faith in a mighty God. The God who, only spoke. He spoke. Do you get that? Do you understand that? God spoke. And it's created. That's the kind of God we serve. He spoke and the heavens and the earth appeared. He spoke and plants and animals were given upon this earth. He spoke and the waters were parted and the lands that we inhabit raised up. God spoke. And he's speaking still today. How precious about us are your thoughts, O God, that if we were to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. God still speaks today. Amen. Don't doubt it. He's here to minister to every one of our needs. Every one of them, you go, how can this many people be gathered together and God know each and every one of them? Well, because God made you, every one of you. He knit you together while you were in the womb. And he knew each and every one of your days and what they were going to hold. Nothing, God is not, oh, that surprised me that happened. No, this is a God that knows your every day. Your every day. And what he's desiring out of you is for you to just give him some acknowledgement. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ, our Lord. We're created for more. You know that, don't you? I've been talking about it for weeks. You are created for more. More than just what you think you can do, what you think that you are capable of. You are created for more than just this existence here as we celebrated Roger Timian and his wonderful life that he lived upon this earth yesterday. We gave tribute to him. His family is here with us this morning. We welcome you, Timian family. And thank you for being here. For Donna Lee. For yourselves. For the church. And church, I also want you to be witnesses of, you know, look at this family unit, this gathering, this Timian tribe that you will over here. Okay? And you can see what their numbers are like. Well, they're out here from Syracuse, New York. They come from a lot of distances. And their times are going to be up where they were going to have to go back to where they came from. And we pray that God safely transports all of you there. But as the days go on, as our brother Phil has learned, our sister Patty, there's going to be an emptiness, there's a void that's there. And we as her tribe, because you guys are the Timian tribe, we're the Mountain Valley tribe. And we love her as much as you do. But let's show her that love as well as we show Patty our love, as well as we show Phil our love. Let none of these people slip out of our attention. Because that's what we're supposed to do. James wrote about it in chapter 1, verse 27 or 28. I can't remember which one, which number gets assigned to it. But he said, religion that is understood to be pure is to take care of widows and orphans in their times of need. This is a tremendous church, a tremendous tribe. And you stepped up strongly yesterday to make sure that this family knew the impact that Roger had upon this tribe. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of Roger Timian. Thank you for giving us a duty as well to help bring comfort to those in need. Going on and created for more. Yes, George. Are you going to interrupt me, George? What? Yes, you have been healed. Amen. 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 Yeah, for a man that was on the door of heaven, they rejected him. They said he had some more work to do. And so we have to put up with George for a little bit longer. And I'm glad out of George. You're such an inspiration. 93 years young, still in love with the Lord, and still blessing us. Amen. I've been teaching through 2 Peter. We're still in chapter 1. Today we're going to bite off verses 16 and 18. Not a very long passage, but there's something that I want you to understand. If you take out your bulletins, it's on the inside of your bulletins, what we're going to go over this morning. But the verses right before this, Peter is using the pronoun I. I want you to know this. I want you to share in this. I want you to consider this. But in verses 16 to 18, he changes his language from I to we, because it's not just about the I journey, it's about the we journey. It's about us all coming together as we're going to try to assemble tonight and come together under the banner of one name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Yesterday, it was such a great showing at the memorial service of different people giving testimony that, well, I was raised Catholic, you know, but, well, Roger talked to me about his God anyway. You know, I was raised Baptist, and we had just all these different people touting different theology beliefs. And yet we're all here together. We are one. And though we get all excited about what church we belong to or what denomination thinking and theology that we follow, folks, there's going to be a day, and that day is going to last for an eternity, when all of our religion is going to go away. And we are all just going to be called to gather together to worship Him. Him. Not religion, not a theology, but Him. Because when God's present, there doesn't need to be theology. Hello? That was a pretty strong word. Thank you. When God is present, we don't need theology. Wow. Somebody got a pen? I got to write that down. Hey, dude, you think this is easy? You come up here. So the language changes from I to we. And soon after this, because he's got to establish what he knows, what he believes. And then Peter's going to go on a terror when he talks about false teachers. So here we begin. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 and 18. It's in your bulletin. Read it together with me, please. For we do not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, such an utterance as this was made to him by the majestic glory. This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. And we ourselves heard this utterance made from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. Now, it's obvious that Peter is referring to the transfiguration. When Peter, James, and John were up on the mountain with Christ, in fact, Jesus had invited them, you three, come with me. We knew that this was the insider clan, if you will, the insider part of the tribe. Jesus knew who he was picking, and he wanted these three to be witnesses of what was about to happen. And so that's what Peter is referring to here. And he's saying, we did not follow cleverly devised tales when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would he have to say that? Well, because in that day, as well as in today, there are a lot of people chasing myths. Myths. They make up religions. In fact, we just saw a movie the other night. King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Myths are still around us today. People are still following after things that sound. They sound true, but they're not. And how do we find out what's true or not? Well, we ourselves have to be witness to the truth that's in the Bible. When we research the Bible and we see it come to life, then we become witnesses of God's mighty power, as we did this morning in Pat being healed. It's going to be done. We believe it. So the question I would start off with, are you convinced that Jesus is the only Son of God? You see, because there are myths out there from other religions that don't declare that, you know, some of them even fathom that, well, Jesus had other brothers. Right? We know that they're out there. But are you convinced that Jesus is the only Son of God? Because guess what? He declared it himself. And if anyone would know, it would be Jesus, right? And we get that right out of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He gave his what? Only begotten Son. Oh, some of these mythology people will say, well, yes, he was the only son born on earth, but there are other sons that were born before that. No. No. If it doesn't state it in the Bible that that's what's happened, it didn't happen, folks. We have to follow the Bible. It's the true word of God. It's the inspired word of God. It's the only truth that we truly know. We got to study this book. We got to know what it says and what it does not say as well. I like the bank president who called all of his employees in because there had been a rash of fake or counterfeit bills that were in. It was in the news that counterfeit bills were being manufactured. And it wasn't just the big denominations. No, now it was down into the 20s. And so the bank president called his employees together and he said, I want you to study the $20 bill. And one of the employees raised their hand and said, well, but shouldn't we study all the fakes? He goes, no. No. Because if you know what the real thing is, you will discern what the fakes are. You see, we have to know the truth ourselves. And the truth will set us free. Amen? So the truth is, Jesus is the only begotten Son in heaven and on earth. Whoever believes in him should not perish. Roger didn't perish. He just laid aside this earthly tent. And his last breath on earth was his first heavenly breath. We believe that. Amen? You see, because Donna Lee needs to know that we all believe that. Because if we don't believe that, we're all lost, folks. We have no hope. But we do have a hope. And she knows now that just as her family evaporates, that her family here is all in union with her beliefs. So are you convinced that Jesus is the only Son of God? You've got to answer that question for yourself. If you can't answer yes to that, then you need to go into God's Word. You need to repent. You need to establish yourself that yes, Jesus is the only Son of God. For we don't follow cleverly devised tales. When we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Peter and James and John, they were convinced. Otherwise, why would they let the people do to them what they did? They were crucified for their convictions about Jesus Christ. They were persecuted. They were maligned by the major populace just as Jesus was. Now, if I don't believe that he's a Son of God, why? Why would I sell myself out like that? Even though the rest of the world is saying, no, there's other ways to heaven besides Jesus. No, there's not. Because Jesus declared it. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man comes unto the Father except through me. He didn't say, and through me, and oh, by the way, I've got some other brothers and even some sisters. You can come to the Father through them. No. No, we only come to the Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we can't all agree upon that one, folks, then let's fold up shop. Let's go away. Because we don't have the truth. You see, and we can't go forward if we don't all have this solid knowledge that Jesus is the only Son of God. We can't go forward as a church, as a tribe, united. If there's any doubters in the crowd, And God won't show his magnificence here. He will pull away his glory. Even just one doubter, God? You know, it just takes a little bit of yeast in the dough to pollute the whole dough. Please be a believer that Jesus Christ is the only Son of God. Next, has God's word become your life truth? Has God's word become your life truth? Not what your neighbor, what your friends, what your spouse's belief is. Has it become your life truth? Why do you think God has guarded this word so fervently? Because understand, the word of God has been under attack ever since it has been put together. Men throughout the ages have tried to destroy it. Even in our society today, they are trying to take the word of God out of our country. Can I hear an amen to that? That's not a political statement. That's a statement of truth. They want to take one nation under God, indivisible, out of our pledge of allegiance because, oh, somebody's a little offended. Well, too bad that you're offended by God, because God's offended by you. Okay? You don't want to believe in Jesus Christ as the only Son of God? You want to bend your knee to the gods of this world? To rocks and to stones and to happy little Buddhas and to, oh, we should all just coexist. Well, I'm sorry, we are not going to coexist in heaven. God says there's only one way into his eternity, and that is through his Son and belief in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is only one Lord, one God, one Father, one Savior. Yes. Let the fires of lies burn up. We've got to know the truth. We've got to know it, folks. We can't rely upon, you know, is one great thing about taking tests on the fire department, because I had my other firemen going through the tests with me. And it wasn't like school where the nun went around and rapped your knuckles with a ruler if you were caught looking at the other person's papers. No, we were sharing the news about what were the right answers with each other quite openly. And you say, well, that's kind of scary. Well, no, it's not. You see, because that builds a team. You see, where I might be weak, you might be strong. Where I'm strong, you might be weak. And so we've got to help each other in the knowledge of our Lord. And in the knowledge of his word. That's why if you don't study the word of God together with someone else, you know who you're hurting? You're hurting the body of Christ. And you're hurting yourself. You're stumping your own growth. You see, we're called together to read. Is this book so easy that one person can understand everything in it? I sit down condemned. I've studied this word lots. I still do. But I don't understand everything in it. Is there a man in this place or a woman in this place that will stand up and say, wait a minute, I have a firm grasp on everything that's in this book. Please, take the pulpit. Because that's what you require of a pastor, right? Oh, you must have a good handle on that word. Well, guess what, folks? On everything in it, I will not claim to be an expert. Have I studied it? Do I have resources that I can look things up? Yeah, guess what? So do you. So do you. And what we do is we pull together and we study the Word of God together. Eric, is it quite valuable to you every week that you gather together with men that profess belief in the Word of God to come together and discuss the truths of it? Yeah. Yeah. It really helps to bolster and strengthen up you. You see, you weren't called to live a life for Christ by yourself. You were called to community. You were called to a church. But you got to know that that church is all believing in the same good things that you're believing in. And how do you know what you know if you don't study the book? We're all required to study it. There's none of us that can go, well, I'm going to get in on whatever he says. I'm going to get in because of what she knows about the Word of God, because they're just going to talk to me and they're going to tell me about what's really in there. We have to study the Word together, and then we come together and we reason it out. You see, we got people coming and going from churches right and left. In fact, that's evident right here in this own church. When at the beginning of July, I asked how many people have been here for 5 years or less, and 95% of you stood up. I've been the pastor here for almost 19 years. In fact, in just a couple of weeks, October 1st, it'll be my 19-year anniversary of serving here. What a privilege I've been on that God has given to me. But I can't do it without your help. I can't continue on without your help. You've got to come alongside this older pastor. See, some people are wondering, why is he letting his beard grow out? I want to show you how old I am. And although some people will say, well, you look very sagacious with that. Sagacious means wise. And my wife has said, yeah, he's been a wise guy for a long time. Gave you one, babe. Gave you one. One back for all those slams I put on you. Has God's word become your life truth? Listen to what Peter declares here. We don't follow cleverly devised tales. We made known to you the power and the coming of Jesus. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We ourselves heard the utterance made from heaven. We were with him on the holy mountain. We. You see, we makes a stronger argument than I. Right? And we like to know that there are others that are just as wacky and crazy as we are to believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Son of God. But we're not the wacky ones. We are the ones that are on to something good. We're on to the truth. And we are seekers of the truth, and we will be declarers of the truth. We will not follow cleverly devised tales. We will make known the power and the coming of our Jesus Christ. You see, he is going to come back. He promised. He's coming back. And I don't care how many times you think that Jesus is coming back, it doesn't matter. What we know is Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? You want to hang around for tribulation? You want to hang around for all that mistreatment by the world? Well, you go ahead, okay? I want to be on the first bus. When Jesus comes back in all his glory, I want to be out of here. I don't want to be part of some church that goes through a whole bunch of trouble any more than what we already go through. Okay? I want to be out of here. And how are we going to be out of here? We believe in Jesus Christ as the only way, the only truth, the only life. And we're going to make known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're eyewitnesses of his majesty. How do we do that? How are we eyewitnesses of God's majesty? How? Well, because people come in here and people are magnificently changed in the presence of God. Their lives are changed. Their hearts are changed. They see something about God here that they have never witnessed before. Mountain Valley Church, tribe, you got to understand what a great gift you have been given. The talk of Mountain Valley in and amongst those who have come and those who have gone, those who through circumstances have had to move on to other places, but they fondly remember Mountain Valley Church. And you know what it's for? What do they remember Mountain Valley Church for? For the love. For the love. For the love. What's the definition of love? God. We are known for being God people. Because we express the love of God to others. And we express our love for God in our worship. That's his majesty. Do we hear utterances made from heaven? Well, of course we do. Every time you read the Bible, you're reading utterances from heaven. It's God revealing his heart to you. So why wouldn't you want to be in this book? Why? Doesn't make sense. We're with him on the holy mountain. Yeah. That's Peter, James, and John's declaration. Oh, we were there. We saw the Lord transfigured into all of his glory. In fact, me, Peter, I was so bold. Hey, you want me to make you a couple tents? No, Peter, you just ruined it. You know, we just wanted you to be a witness to, not do anything. Sometimes there's just that need to just be saturated in the presence of God, and that's what we're going to do tonight here at 5:00. We're going to be saturated in the presence of God Almighty, and we're going to call out in prayer to him to see what he wants to do. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will... And the truth will... And the truth will... See, some of us aren't set free from the things of this world. God wants to set you free from the influences of this world and be into the influences of his world, which are far more magnificent. Oh, there are some wonderful things to see on this world, but the magnificence of God, which we're discovering on Wednesday nights as we read through the book of Revelation, and we hear about what John tries to describe to the best of his abilities in human terms, what heaven's going to be about. And honestly, isn't that all the longings of our hearts anyway? I have never, well, I don't know. Let me think about that for a minute before I say it. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody saying, you know, I'm going to really enjoy going to hell. Have you? I don't think I've really heard anybody declare that. You know, I'm really looking forward to the heat of hell. I'm really looking forward to the destruction of hell, of of the torment, of the screams, of the cries, of the clawing of demons all over me. I'm really looking forward to that. What? I mean, doesn't that sound absurd? So if we don't long for the things of hell, then what do we truly long for? Because the things that we truly long for, we give ourselves to. If I long for heaven, then the things that I do here on this earth are to bring riches to me when I get there. Your last question. Are you ready to defend the truth of God's word? You see, God's truth has got to come into your life, and then you've got to be ready to defend that truth, because this world will try to scrub it out of your heart and out of your mind and out of your actions. They will try to diminish your witness about God. But what did Paul write on to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 4:2 and 4? He said what? Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Boy, I think we're in that day. Instead, to suit their own desires, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They'll turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. To myths. Are you convinced that Jesus is the only Son of God? Has God's word become your life truth? And are you ready to defend the truth of God's word? I want you to really, one of Willie's favorite lines, search yourself. Really examine yourself this morning.